Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a UnitedHealthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. Wastelanders, Vault Dwellers, welcome back to the Fallout Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, or Robots, and today I'm doing a different episode, a little bit, than what I've been doing lately, because I have a guest, a wonderful friend of mine who has been on the show and is back for the first time in a while, Dave Chaffins, as I like to say, of the internet. Which
Dave Chaffins of the internet is a great, I feel like that the Queen of England, or King, I guess now, has given me that title.
Yes, it's your official title from the King of England, and I'm not sure why that was or is your title. I don't remember the origins of that, but hey, we're just going to roll with it. And Dave is our resident cryptid expert. Can we call you that?
I think that that's safe. I think that's a safe title to also claim. I have many a titles, wear many a hats.
You're currently wearing like seven hats. You're like that pirate in the Pirates of the Caribbean ride with all the hats on as they pillage the village.
Pillage the village.
That's my new indie band name.
Yeah, that's good. Right with Panic at the Pillage.
panic at the hat pile. So anyway, welcome back to the show, man. It's been a while. You and I will eventually get the Starfield Lorecast rolling as we get more information coming up in like the next few weeks, and we'll be putting that back out there. It's everything keeps getting delayed with that, so that's
it's common for spaceships to have a delayed launch, I would say. You know, yeah, bad weather, they call it off and then they got to pull back and save it for another day.
Right. Yeah, it totally makes sense. But here today, you are here because we've talked about in the past the Mothman, Fallout 76, cryptids. Recently, I went over some of the two new cryptids that are coming to the game and their real world connections and all of that. That was on the last episode. But I haven't covered yet the Smiling Man, this character who has shown up recently in the game and is kind of this creepy dude. And he seems to have connections to the whole Mothman thing. So today's episode, I'm going to go into the details about what we do know about the Smiling Man, what the dialogue shows when we talk to him, and then some real world connections. And that's where you're going to kind of come in here. So you ready for the ride, Dave?
I'm ready to get on the ride.
All right, everybody, all aboard. All right, so here we go. The Smiling Man is this character who walks around. There are a few specific locations where he can randomly appear in Fallout 76. If you want to find the details on that in order to try to hunt him down, all of that stuff is online. It's easy to search that stuff. But I want to get into the details about like who this is and what happens when you talk to them, because they're a very weird character. The first thing you will notice is that they're wearing like a white and gray, it looks like a colonial outfit, basically a colonial outfit with like a vest and like a, what's that called? Like, it's not a tie around his neck.
A kerchief.
Is it a kerchief? Is that what that is? So. Yeah. So he looks kind of old timey, which is a little weird because most people aren't wearing those, although some people are. And if you look at his face, he has this very, it's rectangular. If you look at him straight on, his face is very symmetrical, very rectangular, and he has this weird grin, which is part of why he's the Smiling Man. He's just, it's you know when you try to smile with just your mouth and not your eyes?
It's the opposite of what Tyra Banks tells you to do, but yes, I'm familiar.
Yeah, it's not smizing. It's the other thing that makes you look like a serial killer. Like your eyes are saying, your mouth is saying, hi, nice to meet you. And your eyes are saying murder, murder.
Yeah.
It's that thing.
Yeah.
That's what he looks like. And here we go. I've pulled some of the dialogue here from your conversations with him. There are multiple options, but sometimes you only get to choose one of the multiple options. You don't get to go back. So here, listen to this.
Salutations. Do not be afraid. I do hope I have found you well.
So this is what happens when you first see him and you talk to him. Salutations. Do not be afraid. Automatically comes across just kind of odd, right? And then the options for this are salutations, nice jacket, buddy. Who are you? And back off, weirdo. And so you can choose each of those. They each have their own
Ingrid,
options.
A pleasure to make your acquaintance. What are you called?
So that's if you ask, you know, like, who are you? And then you can tell him your name. You can make up a name. You can say, let's be strangers. Have we met before? You seem familiar. So let's just go with the tell him your name option. We'll see what he says here.
Of course it is. The pleasure is mine. So nice to see a smiling face.
All right. So then you can say, what do you want from me? Or what are you doing out here? And we're going to go with, what are you doing out here?
Seeking a seeker who cannot be found. Or perhaps it is I that am lost. I have been away a long time. It appears that much has changed during my absence. I have such sights to see. Perhaps you can recommend a local peculiarity.
So I've been gone for a long time. Sounds like he's coming back. Like he used to be here, but now he's back. What's going on with that? Perhaps he has sights to see. He wants to see what's going on. And then perhaps you can recommend a local peculiarity. And the options here are you should try to find the Mothman, or you should track down the Sheep Squatch, or watch out for the Grafton Monster, or keep an eye out for the Snallygaster, or you're the strangest thing I've seen today. Those are the options. And if he has something to do with the Mothman, that it would make sense to choose the Mothman one, which then leads to a very short conversation of a very short response like, oh, that sounds like a good idea. I think I'll go look for that or whatever, which I have a feeling is the same thing that happens if you go to all the rest of these options. I don't know because I haven't been able to find all that data. And it's not like you can have this conversation and then go back and try the other options like you can with some NPCs. It doesn't let you do that. So, the weirdest option here is you're the strangest thing I've seen today, which is the bottom option. So let's go with that one.
I like that. Yes.
I am in no way special nor spectacular. You have my thanks for your time and company. Before I forget, I must go. I do hope to see you again.
All right. So he's like, am I? I'm not strange or peculiar in any way. Thank you for your time and company, right? Like, he's got that, like, weird vibe thing still going on. Now, you can wander off, you can stand here for a minute, and he says some other things, or you can attack him. This is what happens if you just kind of hang around for a little bit.
Okay.
Ever dance with the devil under a blue moon? I've heard the moon can be Baloo, and I trust that to be true. Better the devil you know than the devil you don't. At least, not yet. I really must be on my way, as must you.
And then he just kind of repeats stuff. So, ever dance with the devil under the pale moonlight is the line from the old Batman movie from like the late 80s, early 90s.
Right.
The Joker says that. Ever dance with the devil
under the pale moonlight.
Right. So, and the fact that he's smiling, so he's got kind of that Joker kind of quality going on. So that there's that, and then more references to devil and that kind of stuff. So that's weird, right? Like, it seems like there's a lot of referencing going on. And then if you attack him, if you even do one little thing, if you just punch him, you don't have to, you know, take out your, you know, laser Gatlin and blow him away. If you even just do one little thing, he disappears in a black poof that's very similar to the effect of the Mothman when the Mothman takes off and lands.
Mm-hmm.
And he just disappears. He's gone. It's not like you knock him over, like stuff comes out of him or something. He just, like, he's gone. He doesn't attack back. He doesn't become aggressive. He doesn't say anything. Just disappears. So that's the smiling man. And aside from some of the other conversation options, which you probably have to run into him a few times to actually find all of those, I don't feel like those are significantly different. I don't think he says anything too far beyond what we see here. From what I've seen, and I've looked up a few different videos, I've seen a few of the different options, but for the most part, he just kind of gives you a awkward and cordial response, no matter what you say, and then wishes you a nice day and be on your way and that kind of thing. We both have places to go, that kind of thing. So
there's kind of an uncanny valley, like a quality to your interactions with him. It seems like,
yeah,
something is not right.
Right. Like, you know that feeling you get when you talk to like most people, that they're like engaged in this conversation in the same kind of way you are. And even if you don't really understand each other very well, there's still that attempt to engage. And you feel that with NPCs. In fact, that's the way NPCs in games are designed, is to try to feel like normal people. They kind of, you say a thing, they carry the conversation forward. They ask you something in response, you know, like you kind of, there's that back and forth, right? This feels like a conversation, like the disguise version of a conversation. Like the character is not only wearing like a physical mask, but is also wearing a personality mask. Like, I too am human, like you, human.
Yes. Yeah. It feels like that. It feels like that there's some sort of act or plotting to it a bit, where it's too nice.
Yeah.
People can be too nice, like in that regard, and come off kind of strangely, especially if you watch like any kind of like serial killer or detective movie. Generally, the bad guys will walk into a place and be like, "Hello, sir or madam, please see your kitchenware." You know, stuff like that.
Yeah, they come across very stilted and unable to connect with other people. That kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah. So here, so let's, if we dive into the wiki on the fandom.com wiki, we get some more information. The smiling man claims he is either seeking a seeker who cannot be found, or teases he may simply be lost. These are some of the other variations that come up in dialogue. He says he wishes for the vault dweller to experience their own sense of happiness. His comments suggest he is returning to Appalachia, possibly from before the Great War, as he says much has changed during his absence. At some point, he came across Stephen Scarberry. Stephen felt the moth. Felt the smiling man had a cold personality. So this comes up as well. Stephen Scarberry is another like sort of pseudo companion kind of character that you can get in Fallout 76. He came from one of the game boards. He was one of those characters you could win out of that, I guess you could say. You could earn out of that. He's a follower of the Winged One, which is a sect, or it's like a sub-cult of the Mothman, and it's the sub-cult that specifically worships the red-eyed Mothman, so not the wise one, the red-eyed one. And there's some more details about him, but we'll have to do a whole episode about the different cults and things like that. So he has interacted with somebody who worships the Mothman, and Stephen will tell you that the smiling man has a cold personality. Now, you tie this onto the fact that he introduces himself, the smiling man introduces himself as Indrid, and is said to have a cold personality. That leads us to the name Indrid Cold. Indrid Cold is very much tied to the Mothman mythos, right?
Right. Very much so.
So that leads us to think that, okay, either this is Indrid Cold, or it's somebody who knows that mythology and is playing a character on purpose that could go by a similar name or something like that, right? It leads to some speculation about that. So that's most of the information we get out of the game itself. Any thoughts here before we move on to like a deep dive into the mythology and stuff?
I think the speculation of like, you know, is it something natural? Is it something unnatural? Kind of disappears because nobody has like no enemy disappears with that black cloud of smoke. like you kill anything, it's just going to fall over, or you attack something, it's going to fall over. Like, we've never had, outside of the Mothman in the games, disappear like that in that mechanical way, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So unless somebody figured out, you know, the old Assassin's Creed smoke bomb, I think that there's likely something more supernatural to it than what you would perceive as somebody just like dressing up as the character, just from the interactions in the game.
Right. Like, so to your point, if there's a person who's running around role playing as Indrid Cold because he happens to be a fan of the Mothman and the mythos and maybe worships them or something, then how do they do the disappear thing? Right. Like, that is clearly a supernatural quality. So that leads the conversation more of a direction of, is this thing that looks like a person a thing? Is it a cryptid? Is it an alien? Is it an alien wearing a person suit? Is it a cryptid that has the ability to shapeshift itself into looking like other things? Like, what is going on with that? Because you're right, people don't just poof and disappear in black smoke.
I mean, that's just a general rule that unless you're Batman or Ezio Auditore, you're not disappearing in a cloud of black smoke. We have that written in the bylaws of just like Geneva Convention stuff.
Right. It's against the laws. So that seems to be where the information from the games leads up to. And that's about as far as we can get with that side of it. Tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to go thank our patrons, and we're going to dive in when we get back into the real world lore behind Indrid Cold and why this character is so weird, and maybe some connections that we can draw to the game. So don't go anywhere.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Hello there, old chap. Good to see another of General Atomic's finest, still eager to serve.
All right, here we are. This is the middle of the show. And of course, you are all familiar with this because this is where we get to shout out our new patrons and thank all of our patrons for their support. That includes our newest patrons, Omni Clark, Skylar H, Germinator, who briefly went away and came back, and Polaris. Welcome to the Patreon, everyone. Thank you for being here and for your support. And thank you to all 80 of our current patrons, including our Sentry Bots, Cooper, Dylan R, Germinator, Larry D, and Mark C. Thank you for all of your support. I really do appreciate it. And if you're interested in checking out the Patreon and all the different things you can get, ad-free episodes, t-shirts, stickers, joining us on future patron chats, all of that stuff, head over to patreon.com/falloutlorecast. You can check out everything over there. Also, we have a new review this week that came in on Apple Podcasts. This is from Miss Carter or Mr. Scarter. I'm not sure because all the letters are jumbled together. I think it's probably Miss because of the name later that's given is Sarah with a farm D. So let's say Miss Carter writes, "Great podcast for new and old fans of Fallout. My husband started me on Fallout 4 and 5 years ago. Now 76 takes up more of my game time. This podcast is great for learning about earlier Fallout game lore without getting spoilers and inspired me to start playing New Vegas. I've learned so much about the overall story and more pieces fell into place with different factions. Robots also has a really nice voice that is mellow enough to play late at night while rocking my baby back to sleep. Aww. And keeps my stress in check at work. All Fallout fans should listen. Sarah with a farm D on Twitter." So thank you so much, Sarah. And if anybody else would like to leave a review on Apple Podcasts with some words, 5-star reviews will get read out in the future. Plus, you can rate the show on Spotify, and you can even leave comments for the most recent episodes, because that's now a Spotify thing. So all of the kind comments on that stuff would be super, super helpful and lets people know that the show's worth checking out. So thank you for all your support. Let's move on with the rest of the conversation about Indrid Cold.
"If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them."
All right, Dave. So I know you are a wealth of knowledge about all of this stuff, that you love all the Mothman stuff. And Indrid Cold is Would I be right to say that Indrid Cold shows up even before we get a lot of Mothman stuff? Isn't he involved really early on in the stories?
Yeah, surprisingly, that's one thing that most people don't know is Indrid Cold actually, there's sightings of him across a lot of America coming into this Mothman incident, particularly in the 50s and 60s, of a similar description of a man in disheveled clothing that has an unnatural smile that is asking questions, typically around incidents where a lot of them are alien sightings. Alien sightings pretty much originated in the modern context, originated in the 50s. And so he was coming in around the same time that a lot of government agents, they called them G-men in the day, were coming in to I wouldn't say investigate, but more keep a pulse on things, it seems.
Mm-hmm. Now, the descriptions of him early on were basically a strange looking fellow with a funny smile in kind of a black and white suit. He had that 1950s style kind of G-man black and white suit thing going on.
Some of them, yeah, some of them have the black and white suit. Other descriptions of Indrid Cold, especially around the Mothman incident, the first incident was he was wearing black and white, but others, it seems like that he was wearing kind of a plaid-ish suit. Hmm. All of them describe them as being terribly ill-fitting. So what they're saying is this man does not have a fashion sense.
Right.
That's kind of the general like theme across them, is it looks like that this, what people I think are saying is it looks like these clothes are not his clothes, that he clearly has stolen these clothes from something or somewhere or someone.
Right. Like they were not sized for him. So
right.
either took them from somebody else or just bought them right off the rack and didn't bother having them fitted. So, so the character in the game, the Smiley Man, is in a very black and white and gray kind of suit, but it's old timey. We're not looking at like 50s suit with a tie. We're not looking at like Blues Brothers or, you know, like that kind of style, right? It's more of an old timey, like revolutionary kind of outfit, but is still colorless, like some of the outfits that we've seen or we've heard of Indrid Cold wearing. So there's that. Right. There's the smiling face thing. What other things do we know about real world lore Indrid Cold?
There has been a number of just different corroborated incidents with them. The most prominent one that kind of set the stage, oftentimes with these like cryptid or alien sightings, there's a single incident that people kind of like, oh, I rally my story around that. That's also what happened to me. Mothman is the same way. Mothman appeared several times in West Virginia and even parts of Virginia during that time of the original Mothman sighting, just of people's stories connecting together. So
now, that was the 1960s?
Yeah, 1969,
late 60s, and then and then into the 70s for like that. What, most of it was within like the winter of that year, right?
Yeah, I think it was in November the original sighting happened. But on the same day as the sighting, there was a man coming up the interstate to, I guess it was the interstate, coming up the interstate to go to, I think it was Parkersburg. And he saw a giant chimney flying sideways.
Yes, I remember this.
And it lands and blocks his car, and a man gets out of the giant chimney, smiling man in disheveled clothing, a black and white suit, and approaches the car and asks him for directions to Point Pleasant. And essentially this guy tells him, oh, you know, this is how you get there, blah, blah, blah. He gets back in the vehicle and flies away.
It's due this direction. Just fly like the crow this way.
Right. Later on, the same man has a vision or a telepathic communication from the same being, identifying himself as Indrid Cold and that he is from the Nyamid system, which is some sort of galaxy out somewhere, and that he is an alien. Mm-hmm. That is after that incident in a telepathic communication. I want to make that clear.
Right.
For all the real historians in the house. Uh-huh. That's after the flying chimney incident.
Right. So a skeptic would say this guy was probably just drunk or high. It was 1969. So
right.
Maybe something happened there. And then maybe there's some sort of psychosis also going on or other drugs involved later when he got the telepathic message. Non-skeptics would say, well, if you're going to see a flying craft that you don't recognize, you're going to describe it as whatever it is that you closely resembles that. So an object flying in the sky that looks like a sideways chimney, maybe that's just the shape of the object and that's just the way to explain it. Dude comes out in his like humanoid guised form and has a conversation and then builds a link with this character that he was able then to telepathically communicate with later, I guess. Would yes, that be both the, sides of the argument for the most part?
I guess the corroborating evidence of Indrid Cold was that this wasn't an isolated incident. The man that encountered him in the highway had the most descriptive incident. But around that time, the Mothman sighting happened, the Silver Bridge collapsed. A lot of government agents were in the town of Point Pleasant, essentially interviewing people and going around. And back in the day, government agents were pretty common in West Virginia due to the location of the National Radio Quiet Zone, several of the bunkers that they would, of course, you know, the White Spring and Fallout 76, but also the, you know, the Greenbrier in real life. A lot of them were involved in kind of going around and making sure that was kept hush hush. But they were in town after that, but they had permission. And it seems like that there was somebody that was also trying to pass off as one of them that was trying to get into people's houses, interview people, talk to people. It was acting very strangely in that same, like almost too nice, dressed too strangely. Like, and not, it was like they were peacocking or something, like just like that disheveled suit look.
Right.
That all corroborated that story.
Like it was a bad disguise. And, and so that sense of that person, if that is also Indrid Cold, is that they were acting as either somebody who was like interviewing people for news reasons or for their own curiosity. And they were able to get in and out of places because people assumed they were a government agent of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the setup there, is that like there's this like they're gathering information, that kind of thing, which ties to this character in the game as well. The idea that he's looking for, you know, interesting sites to see and all of this stuff. And well, where should I go check out? Oh, well, thank you for that tip. That sort of thing.
Right. Essentially, that's the connecting point of this person in all of the you know, corroborated stories is looking for information on stuff and is trying not to be too conspicuous with a lot of their movements and is trying to seem very pleasing in that regard.
Right. Which during that time, in itself is suspicious.
Right.
Because it's
weird. But I mean, also during that time, you got to think about it. Like the writer of the Mothman Prophecies, John Keel, was on site in Point Pleasant after this Silver Bridge collapse and was also questioning residents. So you've got these cryptozoologists also running around town questioning people. You've got local papers going around town, national papers going around town questioning people, because it's not often a bridge collapses like that. And then you've got the government in there questioning people. So mm-hmm. There have been reports of like this guy standing over people's beds during that time and then like racing out of the room, like is not exactly socially adept in that regard to gather that information.
Got it. So would it be possible to say that many people were seeing strange things and unable to explain them clear enough so that multiple different kinds of strange things all get grouped together? So for example, you know, like, oh, so-and-so down the street was visited by a cryptozoologist in an ill-fitting suit who was trying to be pleasant and smiling. And yet this other guy on the other side of town was visited by a government agent who was asking questions. And then, oh, the person who came to my house was a third person, but just in general context, how are you going to describe them? Well, they were all men. They were all tried to be very pleasing and, you know, make the situation comfortable because they're trying to get information out of people. And they also happen to be wearing ill-fitting suits.
Right. Eventually, you know, with the lack of that information, you kind of get this, people have the bad memories in general. And so when they remember stuff like that, it's like they can point out those kinds of details of like, how that seemed. If it seemed weird to you, then most likely you're going to remember that person being a little bit off-putting. But if you have an interaction like that, but it's also like I would get all points bulletins in college where someone would commit a crime on campus and they're like, all right, watch out for the white guy in jeans and a hoodie and brown hair. And we're like,
that's like, right. Yeah, that's like at least 30% of the population of the campus. Awesome. Yeah. 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 That's the problem with language is that multiple things are very vague when you describe them and they can represent many of the same things. Right.
Right.
So, sorry, did you have something else?
It's interesting because like when you, it's garnered its own mystery and it's hard to identify like what's more important in that story based on media today, because Mothman Prophecies isn't actually about Mothman. It's more about Richard Gere trying to avoid Indrid Cold.
The movie. You're talking about the movie from the 90s? Was that 92 or something like that?
Yeah. Pretty
much. Yeah. Okay. So, but that's where it became even more popular, and the popular conscience was the movie. And, you know, the book then sold more and all of that. So if we get to the end of the story about Indrid Cold, where does that go? Like, what are the, is he seen mostly through that winter, and then the stories just kind of fizzle out, or does he show up other places? I know you've said that he's been seen multiple places across the country. Does the story go into other things and continue on for a while? How does that happen?
I'm not sure about how it continues on, because it's garnered such a such an acclaim, I would say, that a lot of people have had an encounter or something and have made their own story about their encounter of what everything is. So nothing, you know, back in the days before a cell phone, like when, you know, you had to churn the wheel of the telephone, I think that there was a lot more stuff to be like reported on and gathered. Of these kind of like, you know, for all intents and purposes, urban myths and legends, I think that from there, it just kind of fizzled out. No major plot points yet as to the return of Indrid Cold in the real world.
Right. Yeah. Maybe a few stories by somebody who saw somebody in a suit and was asking questions, had a smile. And so people go, oh, that's similar to this other story that we know from, you know, years before. But there's not really a conclusion to this. It's not like they figured out who the guy was or brought somebody in and, you know, realized that, oh, well, this is just the reporter. He looks very similar. He's the reporter from like the local TV station who just kept showing up and doing the thing. And, oh, man, he looks a lot like everybody's been describing. There's no conclusion to this.
There's no conclusion. There's other strange stories from the area around that time, like a man wrapped in tinfoil is floating above the elementary school. That's a real thing that apparently happened
in
the area around the exact same time. So I think everybody was a little freaked out. And so there was no other, essentially, a sighting of him outside of that Mothman incident in that area. It seems like that, much like Mothman, he will appear when he is looking for something, much like Mothman appears anywhere in the world for when there is something bad about to happen.
Something tragic that they're warning people about, possibly. So, okay, so let's get back to the game side of this. And as we know, in the real world, Indrid Cold doesn't get solved. We don't really know necessarily if it was a real person or not. This is all very open-ended. Do you see potential for this character in the game to show up in other ways? Possibly? Do you think we'll see?
I think so.
Okay, so let's speculate a little bit. Like, if we're the design team, and we've done this before talking about Fallout games, like, if we were the design team, we now put him in here. He's got like this little bitty part where he just kind of shows up and people are talking about him, but hasn't really showed up for other stuff. Do you think maybe some quests in the future are built out around this, or more location stuff, or maybe the cults? Maybe you get to see him among cult members somewhere, or next to a Mothman. Like, a Mothman shows up and he's like behind some trees, like he pops up as well with like a camera taking pictures, or yeah, like what kinds of things do you think might happen with this?
I think you're likely gonna see him in anything cryptid related, as far as a quest of impersonating something. I if I had like the the blank check of like, oh, how would you incorporate them and make it easy? I would say probably the Enclave does testing on, you know, a multiple super mutants and a number of the different, you know, new variants of those that came with the game. Like there is like, they're looking at creatures and how they react. And so to me, it would make sense that the Enclave would be interested in cryptids themselves. And even that one guy at Foundation that that does all your script, he's really creepy. And there's been connections that I think people have made or have a theory that he's a member of the Enclave, just by the way that he talks and looks. Kind of the blonde guy with the white t-shirt and the hat, I believe.
Okay. So he's just kind of hiding out among the Foundation members.
Yes. Yeah. Essentially. And so I think likely in there, it would be interesting to see, you know, the Enclave is investigating some sort of cryptid situation and all. Here's Indrid Cold. He's wearing an Enclave uniform and he's trying to act like them. It's kind of almost like going for the same goal as them, but using that, you know, kind of doing like he did for the actual Mothman incident where he was trying to impersonate a government agent.
Yeah. So we might see this character in different clothing, in different situations, even maybe not even drawing attention to himself, just showing up as part of the crowd or like, you know, somebody else in a room.
And Fallout has been known to do that with particular characters as well in the past.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. This is a big thing that happens in Fallout 4. Man, I think that's a really cool idea. Like you have situations where weird stuff might be happening or he's just interested in gathering information and he's just a face in the crowd in another ill-fitting suit that's slightly different because it helps him blend in.
I think if I could pitch him, he'd be the big bad guy. You know, he's like silently, like, you know, tickling the underbelly of all the different machinations of Fallout 76. That's a great sentence. I'd like everyone to write that sentence down and take that home and put it on their wall.
Tickling the underbelly of the machinations. I feel like that's an album name, not a band name. So, all right. So I think that's basically it for Indrid Cold. Any other final thoughts on this?
There's a lot of interesting stories that you can look up yourself. If you want to know more, you can read the book Mothman Prophecies by John Keel. It's not a great book for a read, but it definitely has some interesting factoids. It's written in a very, written very intellectually, I think. As like a reporter would write a nonfiction book, but these sightings are, in my opinion, very fictional.
They come across very ridiculous.
Right.
So the tone of the writing and then the situations that happen are kind of in contrast with each other.
Exactly. Yes.
That's great. Well, that's really cool. Well, thank you for joining me, Dave. And man, we're going to get together some more and talk Starfield coming up very soon. So if you are listening to this and you want to chime in. If you want to tune in, that's the word, to the Starfield Lorecast, that is currently up. We've got there's about a dozen episodes that are up from the last few years as we were doing speculation episodes and all of that. Go check that stuff out now if you're interested in just some of the wackiness that we've put out there before we had a whole lot to talk about, because they were a lot of fun. But those episodes are going to get moved to, I guess we'll put them on a Patreon or something as we roll into like official episodes and we actually have real lore. Words are hard, guys. Real lore to discover and talk about as we move forward.
Yeah. We're moving those to Wild Space. That's in the Outer Rim.
They're moving to the Outer Rim. Oh, man. It's going to be hard not to just make all of these like analogies to other space shows while we talk about
how do you describe fantasy without talking about Lord of the Rings. It's impossible.
It's everyone impossible
calls it a warp, you know,
like, yeah, we'll be referencing Star Wars and Star Trek and Mass Effect and The Expanse and all of these other things. All right, well, thank you for joining me, Dave. I know you've got some other projects going on aside from Starfield. Yep. Lorecast.
Yes, I run Rad Rolls, which is a tabletop role-playing group. We started our show by doing original stories in Fallout using the official Fallout tabletop role-playing game by Modiphius. We're dipping our toes into something a little bit different and doing a playthrough of Old School Essentials, which is kind of like just the original D&D in an Elder Scrolls setting. So we're building custom settings for those. The current, arc of the story, which now we've deviated into arcs, so you don't really need to know the full story, you can just jump in whenever you want, is called Creepin' Cryptid Camp. or Cryptid Camp Creepin'. I forget which one. It has all three C's in there because I like alliteration. But it is involving several different cryptids from the New Orleans area. A lot of different stories, including that, you know, Nicolas Cage has a pyramid that grants him immortality. And the Bigfoot down there actually really likes honey and lives on an island.
Nice.
It's been a fun arc to record, and we're still going through and recording. So it'll be nice and long and big and lots of cryptid goodness.
That sounds awesome. Well, good luck with that. And yeah, go check it out. If you're listening to this on a podcatcher, you can look that up. And the name again?
Rad Rolls.
Rad Rolls. Just look up Rad Rolls. You can tune into all the wacky, fun Fallout goodness from that. So thank you for tuning in, everybody. Thank you for being here. I will be back next week with another episode. And of course, you know where my shows are, robotsradio.net. And you can check out all the other shows that I do as well. So go check those out. And thanks for being here. Stay safe out there. And if you see a smiling man in a weird suit, I don't punch him. See if he turns into smoke. That's probably bad advice. All right. See you next time. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people, on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.